Gino last year, 30 and 100. Those are the magic numbers on the back of the bubblegum card. Suarez drives it to left. Guido, it's Gino. Well, let's see, as Gracie pointed out on the pregame show, if they want to work into Gino Suarez, who got the tower buzz last night. There it goes, number two for Gino, and the Diamondbacks have the lead. Suarez homered in the second, his second in this series.
Not only has he homered, he's hit some long homers.
Curveball, swung on, that's it, Will. Out to deep left field, that one's going to go.
Suarez hits a high fly ball. Deep left center, Crow Armstrong can't get it, it's gone. He's homered in three straight to start the year.
No, you don't have privacy, Eugenio Suarez, because I even know it's your birthday. It's his birthday. It's his birthday.
I know that song.
Is he in first place when it comes to available bats at the trade deadline? We examine here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We do the stalking segment. The stalking verb is a joke, but the intent and the internet time is very much on purpose, because as we try to figure out who's available potentially for the Cubs at this trade deadline, he comes up because he is one of the biggest bats who could be available. And there's no question that based on what he's doing, not just in his career, but relative to the rest of Major League Baseball right now, and the renaissance he has had is all worth examining on a Diamondbacks team where we're still trying to figure out, Marshall, if they're even going to be sellers because they have talent like him.
So with Eugenio Suarez, what's interesting, as you mentioned, he's 33 years old.
Today.
Yay! And he's producing at a high level. You know, he hadn't been an All-Star in 6 years. But now he's a two-time All-Star after making the All-Star team this year for the National League and the Diamondbacks.
Oh, it's tomorrow, because tomorrow's Friday. My bad.
Oh.
I shorted him a day in his life.
So that means he's turning 34?
I can't tell if it's Thursday or Friday, because the pool party with Ozzy is throwing me off, okay? I'm going to be honest. But the point is, Eugenio Suarez has a birthday within the next 24 hours.
And he'll be 34.
All right, then. But at the same time, when you look at his stats, how about 31 home runs? You want to start there?
We can definitely start there. I think leading the league in RBI is a good thing, too. 78 of those.
The National League?
And so I think the biggest thing, the level of upgrade, because of what you're not getting offensively from the hot corner at third base, it would take this offense to another stratosphere in theory. And I think for him, he's a guy who actually has hit righties well, way better than lefties this season. But for his career, if you just start there, because we talked about the pitching, the problems the Cubs have had with left-handed pitching. Versus left-handed pitching, this man, a .255 hitter with a .355 on base, .480 slug. That's an .840 OPS in his career against left-handed pitching. That's great. That would give you someone, and we know how Craig Counsell is not opposed to moving around the lineup, someone who can bat in the 3-5 spot, or maybe 3-6, against left-handed starters.
The Cubs' struggles against lefties, we know, is established. The Cubs' struggles with the rest of Major League Baseball, relatively speaking, at third base, also established. So when you consider that, there's a big reason why he would be a wonderful fit on this team. He also has gone through a bit of a renaissance, as we've mentioned. The offensive numbers speak for themselves. But part of his success, because if you compare it to what happened in June of last year, where he was looking at a situation where he might be DFA'd. In fact, when they were playing the Philadelphia series last year, his slash line at that time was 192, 276, 308. And his manager, Torrey Lovello, suggested that he do high-intensity training. You know, like hit the acronym high-intensity interval training and more high-intensity prep overall to help him get back some of that burst he needed to return to form. And that's what happened. His last 80 games, he slashed .311, .357, .609. What a remarkable improvement. He said he put in that work in his routine. He was prepared for the game. He was ready, right? And he didn't have to wait two or three innings or two or three at-bats to get his body going. So the recovery time and the warm-up time changed. And he said after that happened, he felt like he re-unlocked his talent. So he's on an option right now for 2025. $17 million is what the Diamondbacks were able to pick up. But when I just consider his performance this year combined with him doing the work, how could you not love that as a candidate for somebody for your team?
Suarez leads all third basemen in Major League Baseball with 58 runs scored. Obviously, he leads all third basemen in RBI and home runs, 31 and 78 respectively, 31 home runs and 78 runs driven in. He also, and here's the thing, just to give you kind of a measuring stick, Jose Ramirez, he's good at third base?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He has the second best slug, Jose Ramirez does, at 506. Suarez has the best. It's 569.
Wow.
Power. Raw. Unfiltered power.
Unadulterated power.
All of it.
Well, maybe slightly adulterated because of the tense moments we saw from one Chicago White Sox in the All-Star game. Let's listen in on that.
Suarez looking.
Oh,
boy.
No.
You're going to first.
Hey, Eugenio Suarez. One of the top home run hitters in the league and one of the key trade deadline pieces, potentially.
Now this ball just gets away and rides in and catches nothing but that pinky. And that there's no way to cushion that.
Ah, and for a brief second there, we thought that all hell was going to break loose after Shane Smith accidentally, hit Eugenio Suarez in the pinky. But fortunately for Suarez, he ended up being okay. But that was the moment when I realized just how important this person's livelihood was to me, when it not just came to this segment, but how he was going to affect the entire trade deadline process,
well,
potentially.
The audible no that you heard there kind of just summed up how everyone watching that game felt seeing it. Not just because last thing you want to see is somebody get hurt in a freaking exhibition, but all the teams that are interested in his services were thinking, not another third baseman unavailable to us before we even get to the trade deadline.
But here's the problem. We still don't know if his services are even going to be available. Let's rewind to yesterday, the Foul Territory podcast. Our friends there do awesome work. And they also have a podcast called Snakes Territory. I love that for many reasons. You could be talking about a rattlesnake you find on a hike. You could be talking about something you saw at the zoo. You could be talking about baseball.
You could be talking about backstabbers, too.
Snakes Territory. In the media business, that really applies. So Snakes Territory host Jack Summers joined the Foul Territory podcast, and he had some insight because we don't even know what the team wants to do.
What general manager Mike Hazen has been talking about is how many teams they're behind and how far back are they. He's not really pegging it to a wins total. The question is are there enough games left before he has to make the decision? And it's starting to appear that there aren't. So in order for him to become an aggressive buyer, this team needs to get on a very hot run and give him the opportunity to add to the team. If he can add to the team, certainly the bullpen. He needs to pick up a couple of strong relievers to be able to sustain a run late into the season. They could probably use a left-handed DH as well. Pavin Smith got off to a hot start, then slumped for over 2 months, and now he's on the injured list with an oblique injury. So they really could use a good left-handed DH as well. But they've had, you know, a top 3, 4, 5 offense the entire year. So offense isn't the biggest need. They need pitching, and specifically bullpen.
Another team that needs pitching. Never heard that story before. Here's the thing I wanted to talk about. When he talks about how many teams they have to get past to get in the playoffs, as it stands right now, the Diamondbacks are 5.5 games out of the third and final wild card spot in the National League.
I like my chances.
The problem is they would have to jump over the Reds, who are 2.5 out.
That's a
the
team
Cardinals,
you respect.
Who are, yes, I definitely respect them. The Cardinals, who are 1.5 out. The Giants, who are 0.5 game out. Oh, and the Padres, who actually are holding on to that third and final wild card spot.
The Padres have the third wild card right now.
Yeah.
That's how good the National League is. This is Raheem and Harris on 670 The Score. We are stalking a Eugenio Suarez, who we think might be a good candidate for, well, just about everybody, but also the Cubs, here at the trade deadline.
Also in the category of what have you done for me lately? his last 23 games, this is what Eugenio Suarez has done.
Yes.
23 games, 10 home runs, 20 runs driven in, a .299 batting average, a .344 on base, a .701 slug. That's a 1.045 OPS.
Anything over 1,000 is pretty remarkable.
It's Hall of Fame level if you can maintain it, but most people don't.
No. That's it. So the Diamondbacks right now, as you mentioned, 46 and 47. That's a big piece of this, too. Because we're also thinking about, not just for this particular segment being Suarez, but Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen, Josh Naylor. The Diamondbacks could really put themselves in a position to succeed for the long term if they decided to become sellers. But at the same time, they put in a lot of efforts to try to contend in a very, very, very tough NL West as well. I just appreciate what he's done with also just, let's go with the first 91, the first half, or a little bit better than the first half. 251, 325, 63 slash line. 29 home runs, 2.6 wins above replacement. That's Fangraphs. And just his second All-Star game this year for his career. You think in all those years he was with the Reds that it would have happened. But thanks to the training changes that he has made, he's put himself in this position. Let's hear from him on MLB Tonight talking about what he did to get himself into form.
MLB Central, great show in the morning, did an amazing segment on you. I don't know if you saw it. It was Mark DeRosa and Albert Pujols. Did you see it?
No, I don't. But right, Mark, talk to me about it.
Here's video. We're showing you an image of what D-Ro discovered. In April of last year, your batting stance was closed. Then in July, you opened up your stance. And then he's showing you where you're hitting now. Look at the difference in your hands. Since July of last year, you went on a torrid pace, well over 20 home runs. You were barely over 200 before that. He also showed your feet in the batter's box. And he showed that not only are you opened up to the pitcher more, but you've moved up in the batter's box.
Towards the pitcher.
You're towards the pitcher. Did D-Ro nail all of this? Did he check all the boxes? Is this accurate in your new approach?
I mean, last year I thought in the beginning of the season I tried something to be sure to get the strikeout less strikeout in my career because I'm the guy who strike out a lot. And I tried that, and then it doesn't work. And this game is about adjustment. So I got a conversation with our hitting coach, and they give me this little tip, and I just try so hard in the middle of the July after the All-Star break. I come in with that thing, and like you say, turns my hip into the pitcher. And to try to catch the breaking ball out from the play, you know, and obviously I got a good resource, and I got confident on that, and I just got it natural now, you know. Like I say, this game is about adjustment, and that's what I've been doing it last year and this year. I just want to keep having it, you know, not change anything, like I say.
Aw, doesn't that warm your heart? I feel like that's such wholesome content from Eugenio Suarez.
I got to tell you, I went through a lot of this audio yesterday, and I didn't know much about Eugenio Suarez other than I love when Pat Hughes says his name.
Eugenio.
And after this segment, to anyone listening, I have to dare you, triple dare you, to not come away from this segment loving Eugenio Suarez.
Well, here's something that will really make them love Eugenio Suarez, as if they needed a reminder. The best thing about getting Eugenio Suarez on your team is that you don't have to see him in the batter's box against your team. Against the Cubs, he's played 132 games, right? He's hitting .266. His on-base is .349. His slug is .540. That's an .889 OPS. His 36 home runs against the Cubs, more than against any other team in Major League Baseball, of course, from all that time he spent playing in the division.
And he's coachable. Listen to how coachable he is. He's like, oh, you think that I should work out harder? Okay. Let me make these adjustments and figure out how to get better at the plate. Okay. And look what happens. He hits 4 home runs in a single game this year in his age 33-34 season. And he makes a second career All-Star game. And that's just lovely. That's wholesome for me. It heals my cold, dead heart to know that somebody puts in the work and they're that open to it, and it's paying off in these dividends. I just hate that it's not for the Cubs.
I just, when we talk about wish lists, right, at the trade deadline, as far as hitters go, how could he not be at the top of your wish list of guys who are clearly going to be rentals if you get them?
Should we listen to more Eugenio Suarez?
Yes, absolutely.
Can we listen to him after he talked about hitting four home runs in a game?
Obviously, it's awesome. You know, I never thought in my life that I'd be able to hit four home runs in a game. To be honest, it feels great. I just want to thank God for this opportunity. It's very special for me, you know, to be able to do that here in Arizona, doing for my team, doing for my family. They watch me every single day. They support me, my teammates, and that's awesome. Obviously, it's a mixed feeling right now because we wouldn't win the game, but this is basic. That's why this game is so special, and I just want to glory God with this game today that he just gave it to me. It's a gift, you know, and I don't take it for granted. I've been working so hard, and I think that was more special for me, you know, doing it in front of all the people. Like I say, they've been cheering for me all game long since I hit that first one. I see a few fans that I cheer for me, and they say they're going to hit more than one today. So it was awesome doing in front of them, and I see the crowd after that I hit my four homers. They was crazy, you know. That was awesome.
Aww.
Indeed. I mean, come on, man. Stop. It's the middle of the day. You can't have me out here in my feels.
Why not?
In broad daylight where other people can see me.
Man, don't you just like this guy?
We're talking about Eugenio Suarez. He's the third baseman on the Diamondbacks, but he might be the third baseman somewhere else, and there's an argument to be made. He should be the next third baseman of the Chicago Cubs. Look, I'm not knocking on Matt Shaw. I haven't given up on Matt Shaw, but if your window is now, we don't know what's going to happen with Kyle Tucker at the end of the season. Get whatever you need to make the strongest push you can make. That is the point here. And with Suarez, you feel like that's a guy who can get things done. We've seen it before, and I just wonder if they have the ammunition to go out and get both a top of the line pitcher, and when I say top of the line, I mean top of the line of what's available starting pitcher, and also get an upgrade on the level of Eugenio Suarez.
I think if he is dealt, whichever team decides to go for him, you know that there's going to be a big-time reaction in the clubhouse. Like, you know that is going to be one of those, oh, we got that dude, let's go. Like, you want to be there to see the motivation and the reaction from people like that when that kind of move occurs.
Suarez is great, man. That's just bottom line. If you're trying to win and win now and you need a right-handed bat, a power bat, few options are giving you as much power that are trade eligible or not. Guys who you know aren't moving. I mean, he's a top-tier player. At least he has been this season specifically. Again, it's been 6 years since he's been an All-Star. But he's put up good power numbers since then. And he can continue that as a member of the Cubs or whoever decides to trade for him if the Diamondbacks decide to make a move at all.
Uno mas! One more time from Eugenio Suarez. Let's hear from him after he hit his 300th home run of his career on June 20th.
This is the gift, you know. I feel so proud of myself. I've been working so hard all my career. And, you know, see that, you know, put everything on the field, try to help my team win games, and came here and doing it in front of my wife and my daughter. They came and watched me. So it's even more special, you know, and it's something that I always dream. And today the dream come true, you know. A little guy from Venezuela, Ciudad PR, hit a 300 homer right now in big leagues. That's awesome. And I feel so blessed. I feel so good and so proud of myself. And I feel so good right now. I feel so happy. I want to cry because, like you say, a year ago, like my career maybe went down for a lot of people, you know, but not for me. I never lost my belief. I always work hard. I know what I can do. And today I show up like that, you know. Now I put my name in that list, and I feel blessed.
Aww. Dang it. Okay, here's my plan.
Oh, you got a plan?
Yeah, I got a plan. All right, here's the thing. I have no money and I can't sign anybody or trade anybody. I have no prospects. But I have Ozzie Guillen and this pool party at Four Winds Casino. And there's a good chance that because Eugenio Suarez is Venezuelan, that I can talk to Ozzie and that Ozzie can try to do some work on the side. And so we can try to figure something out.
Are we trying to get him on the White Sox? What are you talking about?
No, Ozzie could pitch him for the Cubs. Ozzie loved Kyle Hendricks. He thought he was one of his favorite players at the time he was pitching for the Cubs. So I feel like in this case, Ozzie would be like, yeah, I want him in my city. I'll ask Ozzie. I'll see what he thinks.
Go get him, baby.
Ozzie will have a plan.
You've got the inside track. He's got the inside track. Connect your tracks.
If there's one thing we like to do, it is scheme. So I feel like Ozzie and I can scheme a plan together.
I also am
for
a plotter.
Mythical baseball league, hanging out at Four Winds Casino.